cigonha, mabaquim, tibabá.
More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Even if you're not a fan of Elton John and Tim Rice's iconic score for Disney's The Lion King, the stagecraft on display is astounding.
The show, which is on right now at the Milwaukee Theater, began 17 years ago on Broadway with an unexpected marriage between Disney and stage director and designer Julie Taymor. The musical introduced a wide audience to Taymor's highly creative work.
That includes the extensive use of puppets of all kinds, from the smallest birds on a string to full-sized elephants and giraffes integrated with actors. It's a big cast, and there are a lot of puppets, which takes a lot of backstage support to make sure an audience sees nothing but the best.
Milwaukee native Bruce Paul Reich is one of the puppet masters on tour with The Lion King. He took time out of his production schedule to join us in the studio. What do you do? The puppets have already been created, so are you maintaining? Are you rebuilding when they need to be rebuilt? What kind of jobs do you do?
all
of
that
those
stuff.
Things?
Yeah. I'm basically sort of a maintenance man. A fix-it guy. So it's sort of like working in puppet triage. There's always something going wrong. There's always illnesses to diagnose. So I'm just always at the ready to fix whatever is wearing out or breaking. Or sometimes I'm sculpting to reproduce something that is broken off. Sometimes I'm just repainting things that have gotten nicks or scratches. Some things are mechanical, and I have to troubleshoot and repair that stuff. So it's a pretty far-encompassing set of job skills that I need to be able to do this job.
I love the idea of puppet triage. That's very funny.
Yeah, one of my coworkers wears a medical coat that is now splattered with paint. But she's really into that whole triage thing.
Now, one of the things about the puppets that are in The Lion King, they're not exactly puppets the way a lot of us think of puppets, where you've got, you know, a figure on strings where you're manipulating that. A lot of times people are wearing these puppets. So it's both actor and puppet working together literally as one creature.
Yes. Well, the show, I think, has expanded the notion of what a puppet is. And there are some puppets that are distinctly separate from the actor's body. But there's some that are basically a synthesis of the actor and the puppet. And sometimes it's hard to figure out where the dividing line is between the actor and the puppet. Julie Taymor talks about the concept of the double event, that you're experiencing the puppet, you're experiencing the actor. And I would also mention that it seems like it's a triple event because you see the synthesis of those two things.
Yeah, they become somehow inseparable. Like you wouldn't want to see them as two separate things, that they come together greater than the sum of their parts.
I think that's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Now, obviously, every time somebody is cast in a role and Lion King's running on Broadway, now you're in the part of the touring group, and I'm sure there are other touring companies. Do you have to refit the puppets, the ones where the actor is sort of part of the puppet? Is there rebuilding that goes on? Is there fitting, like a costume fitting that has to happen?
All of that. Depending on what puppet we're talking about, yeah, each puppet has to specifically be fit for the person who's using that puppet. In the case of, for instance, Scar, Mufasa, Simba, Nala, there are specific head mounts that are made solely for the person wearing them. And so we have to do a fitting and do what we call a pull, where we're using thermoplastic to fit exactly to their skull. In the case of hyenas, the frame has to be bent or manipulated to specifically fit the contours of their body. So it depends on the puppet, but there's a lot of specifics for the person who's using that puppet.
How long does it take to do that if you get a new cast member in? Say, I'm thinking specifically of the cheetah. who has a non-speaking part but is in a lot of the crowd scenes. And it's a person with the cheetah, and it looks like the person's head is connected by some sort of string to the head of the – so every time the person turns, the cheetah's head turns. It's a wonderful puppet.
Yeah, I think that puppet's very elegant. And yes, there are strings that go from the actor's head to the cheetah's head. And the cheetah is a special case because there's a learning curve in being able to move that animal in the elegant way that it appears on stage. And a lot of that is just a movement-based fitting in a way. But yeah, there's we sometimes have to make special hip inserts for the particular person wearing the cheetah. The strings have to be a particular length. And some of that is sort of we rough it in, and as they rehearse with it, say over a month, we fine-tune it to make it specific to that person.
And I would imagine on like any tour, like anything, people get sick, stuff happens, somebody gets injured, and somebody has to step in to a role. How do you adjust for that when everything is so specific?
Well, we have sort of cheat sheets about who's wearing what. If the main cheetah person is off for the night, the understudy cheetah person has different strings. They might have a different hip insert. They might have different settings on the belt. So all of that has to be quickly put in place to be ready for the show.
I can't even imagine the numbers of lists and the kind because it's a huge cast.
It's a huge cast,
and people are understudying each other, right? I assume in the chorus.
Right. There's some crossover. Some people have to know. I don't know how many parts, and I don't know how they do that. It's a big pile of stuff to do.
Well, how did you get involved in puppetry and interested in that in the first place? Because you were born and brought up here. Did you do work here?
Yeah. How far back can I go?
As far back as you want.
So in the womb.
Yeah. You were already making puppets.
Well, yeah. And my mom was at some puppet show, and I somehow internalized that. No, when I was a kid in grade school, I made my own puppets. And I don't know why I started doing that, but I made hand puppets, I made marionettes, and I started putting on puppet shows in the backyard on the south side of Milwaukee. And it never occurred to me that I would be making a living as an adult working in puppets. But, yeah, it started when I was a kid.
What was it about them that fascinated you?
I guess I've never thought about that, but I think what's interesting about them is that there's an inanimate object that can suddenly be brought to life by manipulating it, by moving just its head or its body or body parts if it's, you know, if it has segmented body parts. It's amazing that an inanimate object can become lively.
Yeah, you feel sort of life in it, even though, as you say, it's whatever it's made out of, you know, paper mache or it's wood or it's bits and pieces of whatever.
Yeah, and I've seen people use just common household objects as puppets, and it's amazing that you can make, say, a laundry basket into a puppet, and it can seem believable in somehow telling a story.
You've been with Lion King for what, 9 years now?
Almost 10.
Almost 10 years. Does it ever get old?
No. And I'm constantly surprised by that, or repeatedly surprised by it. The show has a life and an energy that for me doesn't get old. And I feel like I'm in a perfect position because I think I'm employing all of my art skills, and the show continues to move me. It's a wonderful show.
Well, and you get to travel too. Unlike a lot of touring shows, you're in a place for a while. So
yes.
You get to actually visit, and you were saying before we turn on the mics that you're actually staying with your mom.
Yeah. So this is an especially nice situation, and it's a little confusing at the same time because I associate working on Lion King with being on the road and not being near my origins. And so I feel a little confused that my mom made me breakfast this morning, and I go to work and it's Lion King, and those two never merged before. So it's interesting that way. Traveling around the country, I still love. I have a chance to be a resident in each town that I'm living in and working in, because we usually stay a minimum of 3 to 4 weeks. And so within that time, I feel like I'm more of a resident than a tourist.
And you get to get favorite restaurants and favorite things
exactly.
to see and do.
Yes.
Yeah, you get to know a place a little bit more than just a couple of nights.
Yes.
Or seeing the backstage of the theater, and that's the only thing you ever get to know.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of backstage or basement of the theater, but yeah, I'm able to go out into the community and experience what it's like living in that particular place.
And how does it feel to be back in Milwaukee? Has it changed?
There's a lot of things that have not changed, but I feel like it's a much more interesting city than the one I moved away from. I think it's a great town.
Well, it's great to have you back.
It's great to be here.
And thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to talk to us. Lion King is running at the Milwaukee Public Theater through
December 7th.
And so you can see some of Bruce's triage work.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Triage work on stage. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Milwaukee native Bruce Paul Reich is one of the puppet masters working on the touring production of The Lion King, which is on stage now at the Milwaukee Theater.
After a break, the harmonies of the husband and wife at the heart of the Minnesota band Communist Daughter. This is Lake Effect on listener-supported WUWN.